This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, October 15th, 2009.
Okay, it's now 4:45, Thursday, October 15th. The meeting is now called to order. Call it in.
Unexcused.
Here.
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 Unexcused. And Alcantara just walked in.
And
it's over here, Alcantara.
Unexcused.
No fun to catch this.
And Phillips is going to be 5 to 10 minutes late.
That's fine.
Okay, moving on to announcements and reports. My office hours are going to be 12 to 2 p.m. Saturday in Live Cafe. And we had an SAFC budget discussion, VP Basil and myself and two of the SAFC co-chairs, as well as Ari Epstein and Terry Ector from the Assembly's office, met, and we talked about the SAFC budget, and they told us that the money for the shirts had already been spent prior to the start of the semester. So, but what we decided out of this discussion was that the SAFC would write it in their charter to present to us a preliminary budget at the before the end of next semester, spring semester, so that we have some better idea of, you know, where they're going with their costs and expenses. And the Vice President of Finance will try to present a rough draft of the SA budget during the orientation meeting, so that although, you know, the Appropriations Committee is not set to, you know, officially approve it, people can start thinking about what the expenses are going to be. The SAFC decided that they're going to reuse their t-shirts, because in the past every year they ordered brand new t-shirts, so they're going to keep a consistent color and just replenish the ones that they need.
An oversight both on the charter and on my part. The budget itself is different than a normal piece of legislation, namely that once money is spent, you can't unspend it. So though the budget, like any piece of legislation, is up for reconsideration, items that have already been sold aren't inherently. I'm going to probably in the next couple weeks bring forward a resolution, I guess, to change that so that the budget process is a little longer and there's more time for consideration than sort of a one-meeting process that we've had in the past. So we sort of don't run into these kinds of reconsiderations and negotiations.
VP Andrews agreed to fill the SA spot on the Presidential Council on Alcohol and Other Drugs. So that's taken care of. And also, Into the Streets will be this Saturday. I think I have the names of people who volunteered for it, but I'll follow up with you. Yeah, sure.
And it's just two quick announcements. First of all, one of our new initiatives this year is to post attendance records on our SA website. So anybody on the SA and in the community can just go to our website and download a monthly attendance record. And to all SA members, if you see something that's seems inaccurate, just shoot me an email as soon as possible. The second thing is next Tuesday, October 20th at 6 p.m., right here in Willard Street, we're going to have a meeting for all committee chairs. So if any committee chair can make it, let me know, but this is a really important meeting. You know, I kind of want to have a few of these periodically throughout the year. So if you can make it, please let me know as soon as you can.
Any questions for VP Kamatha? Okay, go.
So just to let you all know, there's going to be an unofficial committee that's going to be started to do to propose a revision to the charter for the SA. So this doesn't mean that what we're making is going to be immediately passed. It's simply going to present something before all of you for your consideration. So I'll send an email over the listserv, and if any of you are interested, just shoot me an email.
Any questions for Parliament or anything? Any other announcements or reports? Okay. I told Deputy Provost Harris to come here at 5, so I think in the meantime we can jump ahead. One more.
This is just a reminder. If you sign up for the parade, that's this Saturday. I'll be emailing all of you tonight. I'll be emailing all of you tomorrow. I'll be giving you guys a call if you guys don't show up, and I'll be knocking the dorm room door. So please show up, and if you aren't doing anything Saturday morning, please volunteer to walk for the student assembly in the parade. We ordered a nice banner that I forgot to bring today. And also, the dress code is going to be just some type of Cornell t-shirt or like a sweatshirt or something that's visible as you're walking. So that's just going to be the dress code for us. Okay.
Yeah, my mistake. And so it's just actually Saturday, October 31st. I said it was Saturday. The parade is Saturday. If there's anyone in the audience who'd like to speak about something that's currently not on the agenda, you may step forth if you'd like to do so. Yeah. Yeah, and while resolutions are discussed, just raise your hand and you'll be recognized to speak on whatever resolution is being discussed. So we'll move on to unfinished business now.
Great, so I guess we'll move to Resolution 11, Voting Rights for Members of the Undergraduate Community, also known as Community Clause 2.0. So I'll recognize the sponsors of this resolution for 5 minutes. So you presented last week, so I'll recognize you for 2 minutes to give a introduction.
Sure. So this was postponed to this meeting because we thought there weren't enough people in attendance at the last meeting incorporated, but a few changes that were made, and it didn't come out well because it's printed black and white, but so Ari recommended that we put in broad terms what this resolution aims to do with the SA charter and then write the details into the bylaws so that we don't have, you know, every year and a discussion comes up as to whether the SA should consider the bylaws as part of the charter. The bylaws only needing a majority to be amended, whereas the charter needing a two-thirds majority. So in order to avoid that, we just sort of separate them. So there's the broad statement in section 3.1, and then in the bylaws, it goes into the nitty-gritty. As Deidre suggested, I specified that the casting or the announcements of the community vote will be determined before the SA members' individual vote. And another issue that I thought would be better to put in print is to say that the parliamentarian will validate the status of the undergraduates just, you know, going online and trying to get to the computer. And I added that the implementation will be revisited at the end of the fall semester. And yeah, I took out the word enforce for the parliamentarian's duties and just left it to administer because there was, again, our thought that in Ford implied that they're doing something that they don't necessarily agree with and that they're told to do. So just to keep it neutral, just to keep that.
Great. So the speakers list is now open. Representative DeLucia.
So the last time we brought this up, I commented on the first part where you mentioned and I commented on the aid as to how it's working. So it still seems to seem like every undergraduate will have two shows. I would kind of propose the change up to two additional loans shall be allocated between current students and undergraduates as a whole, present and student members getting in terms of benefit there.
So I'm just going to reread that amendment. So you're going to add up to two additional votes will be allocated to all undergraduate members of the Cornell community as a whole?
Up to two additional votes shall be allocated to the entire community of undergraduates as a whole, present and student members of the
community as a whole. All right. Is there a second for that
second
motion? Second. So because it's under unfinished business, we have to, it's now like the property of the entire assembly, so we just have to vote on it quick. So all in favor of this amendment?
Can we make sure that that says undergraduate students of the Cornell community? Make sure that it's not just like all undergraduates of any college?
Sure. All right. So, yeah, sure, I'll reread that. So up to two additional votes will be allocated to the entire community of Cornell undergraduates as a whole. Okay. All right, so we'll just have a hand vote on this. All in favor of this amendment? 17. All against? 18. Abstentions? All right, so the amendment passes by 18 to 0. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to suspend this?
Yeah.
Suspend this and... Right, okay, so we'll suspend this debate, have the United Way presentation update, and then go back to this next.
Medical center, where you get free clinic, and you can get drugs for certain types of illnesses, and
Okay, I don't have much before, so I apologize for that. Mr. Strauss said, first of all, thank you for the contributions that the students have made. And the entire Cornell community, which is really retiring. Cornell is represented annually in the top 10 universities, top institutions of higher learning in the country in terms of their generosity to the United Way. And at this time, when our community is challenged, as Strauss said, we've seen dramatic increase in the revenue in our actions. Last quarter, we had almost $6,000. And prescription medications that we wrote, we've seen a food pantry. I spoke with one food pantry last week. They serve 400 people in one setting. They usually can serve 700 for the month. They usually serve 300 for a month. So their numbers are increasing dramatically. They're registering new families at every opening. And so it's just a challenge in the community right now. We have been somewhat insulated just by the nature of our community, but that no longer is holding up. We are meeting it just like other communities around the country. And there is a need that exists across the country. And so, as I said, we thank you not only for the financial support, but we understand that students on this campus are involved in volunteering, making a difference in a number of ways through your activities, and it makes a difference in the quality of life, and I guess what we're doing today is to ask you to stay with us and do a little more if we can. So I will stop there. Well, I still have points, and I can answer any questions that you might have. And I will give our program chair, David Harris, the opportunity to
Thank you. Sorry, that's my fault. So I'm here. Sorry for not being here when you start. Thomas, you've spoken. I don't know if that would be good, so I'm not going to risk repeating what they might have said. But let me just make a couple of quick points. One is when it comes to students, I guess there's three things I want folks to think about. Why now? Why give this plan out? Please quickly hit those points. Why? You've heard from me. I think here it just came in. About why and what the United Way does, how critical it is in our community. I understand that many students don't have a lot of disposable income, but some students do, of course. And so there is an opportunity for students to give. One of the things that makes a difference, it's a great plan. I hope we can all get involved in that. Also, find out that corporate cornerstone does money goes directly to the United Way. We're talking about cancer research. Cancer research, now, one thing I've done this year is share the point I have in the campaign. I want people to give because they understand the importance of giving, not because it seems like something that's right to support or someone at Cornell has said you should all do. And so we have a leader of a member agency who comes to these very sensitive people on campus. And we hope to have that as a cancer resource center in Finger Lakes, but for personal reasons, we couldn't make it. So I just want to very quickly read you the five sentences. Mission statement, just to give you a sense of one of these. So the Cancer Resource Center of Finger Lakes, the mission of the Cancer Resource Center of Finger Lakes is to create and sustain a community of support for people living with and affected by cancer. We offer face-to-face comfort and assistance during a stressful time. We provide a supportive environment that lets you catch your breath and take embarrassment. We tailor our services to the needs of each individual. We begin by asking, how can we help? We provide community for people with cancer and their loved ones. Because no one needs to face cancer alone. Clearly a worthy cause. Hopefully we can all help us. So I now you've already heard some about what's going on in the community. But I hope that we'll all keep in mind that in part, large part, frankly, because of what will happen in Cornell when it's out there, but we'll have other employers in the community. The need that is high will be even higher a year from now than it is now. So those of us who are lucky enough to be able to contribute, I hope we'll all dig a little deeper. For our neighbors and friends who won't be as they need and who will need services. Maybe us who need services, we're never sure, but the range of services they provide, it's not just food pantries. And the last thing to say about Food Cornell, it's extremely important for this community of Cornell to make a statement. It's your home for 4 years, it's my home for longer, to make a statement to this community. We're committed to being a part of the solution. I think there's few better ways to do this than to aggregate our giving. So people can really see it as Cornell, as opposed to giving individually to agents that will help, but will not make that decision. Cornell is an important part of the community. The time is good and the time is bad. So I'll stop there.
I'd just like to expand on what David said, the corporate cornerstones. This is a group of companies in town that is funding all of the United Way expenses. So every dollar that's given by every student on campus goes directly to where they want it to go to. So there's no administrative expenses tied to that. That's a very important point that David made. And that's something that you should understand when you're thinking about this. There's not very many places around the country that do that. That's a great thing. I too have been at Cornell for a long time, and I love Cornell. I've been here for 32 years. I've worked in the real estate department now. My son graduated from Cornell. It's a great place. For you to be a part of this, it's a great thing for you, and it's a great thing for us as well. Maybe because we're all part of this community. I'm happy to be here.
Thanks, and Deputy Provost Harris, you were right on time. We just got through the agenda a little quicker than we
intended.
Before I open up the speaker list, I had just a couple of questions. First, where do you stand now relative to last year in terms of contributions, and are you on pace, I guess, to meet the anticipated projected goals?
Yeah, hi, thank you for coming. So I spoke with Max Agri, who I think is a student representative on the committee. Yeah, and so one of the ideas that through the student assembly, we have access, or we work with, over 900 student organizations that we have on campus. And so one of the ideas that I came up and suggested that the student assembly could really work with United Way on is to try and, outsourcing is a, I don't know the connotation on the word, but, work with student organizations on campus for them to also raise funds as a campus organization. And so whether it's through a contest with a prize at the end where that could be, lunch with an administrator or some type of contest where over all the organizations could get together and raise funds on campus, and then they could, as Haven or as Minds Matter, as an organization, pledge a certain amount that they raise through their organization, through their club, and through their members. I think that you could really reach many more students than through a one entity trying to reach all the students. So if we could expand it to the 900 clubs, I think that'd be a great.
That's a great idea. We have the school, but we haven't acted on it yet. We're in a great position here of being inundated with wonderful ideas. And so one thing we're talking about, Matt, is you capitalize on the fact that there's already networks out there, rather than trying to create a network or tap into folks at a high level. I'm a social scientist. We can tap into all the social networks that are out there. And in fact, what we're talking about, I think, about Tom and James, is maybe even trying to get a competition going. You can think about the sports team, you can think about the athletic, IMNL, other super groups, and say, again, you might even do it per capita, per member or something. How are you doing, and how's the company going? We'll pick up on that.
Yeah, and again, the student assembly would be happy to work with you and, with all the different groups on campus to try and get that going.
Representative Brown.
Hi. Thank you so much for coming. I really enjoyed your presentation. I just have a couple questions. I was a freshman last year, and I don't remember hearing much about the United Way. So what was your history with students in the past couple of years trying to get them to participate?
So in the past, this is the third year, I believe, that there's been a Cornell student group affiliated with the United Way campaign. And so this representation has tended to overlap with ISB a fair amount. And so one of the things that I wanted to do this year as chair of the campaign was to build on the success we had in a segment of the student population by coming to the student assembly, by having an SA rep on the United Way Academy, by having a GTSA rep on the United Way Academy, to try to make sure that we can reach out as much as possible to the undergraduate and graduate broad student population, so that people know not just what it is, as I said earlier, what it does. I think it's much more important than just knowing the United Way.
Right. Also, have you guys thought of targeting the community centers? Because I know targeting freshmen, we all go through RPCC and all those places like that, and if you get a table or a booth, to kind of make your facts known and noise also. Because once again, I had no idea that this was going on, and if I had been told if every time I walked through there was a sign or there were people tabling, I think I would have contributed.
Right. We talked about this yesterday at the academy meeting. One of the other things that the expand the academy with, so we have an academy member now who was a very successful staff of leading part of a United Way campaign in New York City. And we talked about this very idea of PIA. Given that you can give online and given that there's rover Wi-Fi all over the place, it's not that hard to have a table with a laptop to turn around people and let them get. We just talked about this yesterday.
Okay. I'm a little late.
Representative DeSalle.
So, yeah, again, I just wanted to echo our thanks for coming and taking time to give the presentation. I think it's very informative for all of us. I like representatives who absolutely have no idea about what was going on. I definitely think it's like, a great goal for our community. I had a question about something said earlier in the presentation. You guys talked about like contributions to sources or clubs on campus. Like, are those, like, what were you referring to there? Is that like service related clubs or?
I was talking about the breadth of the agencies throughout the community. We don't give specifically to the clubs on campus. They're nonprofit agencies throughout the community. Underneath the community councils, maybe is what I said. That's through the local town.
So you're referring to like the Pompey County Red Cross or something like that?
The Red Cross is one of our agencies, the Salvation Army, Family and Children's Center, Francisco Rackers Center, just many very, very worthy agencies.
Okay, well, the reason I ask is because, like, you know, as a freshman, when we have like Club Fair and all that, I noticed a big lack of, you know, community service, not only community service clubs on campus, but like a lot of those larger agencies that have power in the area, not having any influence on campus. But like, is there like a United Way goal maybe to get more of those organizations to have a bigger impact on campus? Since a lot of those goals would, you know, lie along the lines of the United Way goals, like maybe the Salvation Army and the Red Cross to do a little bit more on campus. I just want to know if that's something like along the lines of your goals.
That would be ideal if we can mobilize them and provide them with those opportunities. I think sometimes they feel that they don't know how to access campus. I think the conversation starting here and connecting with them, their resources would make a big difference. And I just expand into a couple of things that have been said. We have mentioned a number of organizations, but given through the United Way, you can support any health and human service nonprofit in the United States. We will direct resources to any nonprofit in the country as long as it is providing health and human services, and we will verify that the services are indeed directed to people and improving their lives. So it goes just beyond the member agencies. Those are the agencies that they've done where our local volunteers are assessing needs, they're looking at programs, and they're looking to make investments that will have the greatest impact.
great. We have to move on to the next speaker.
Let's ask the contact information.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Let me, if I could, can I make a closing three points?
Sure, sure. Three yeah.
Quick,
yeah.
Three quick ones. I'm going to pass this around and go. So if you want to make one great, from the back, this has all the memory, if you're wondering what they are. And also, if you want to take one of those, three sort of quick points. So the three things I want to leave you with. One, it'd be great if you could find a way to help support directly, you know, monetarily, in any way. This place is passing those around Pleasant Garden. But solving the difference is great. Tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at Seth Auditorium at Acapella United. It's a great way, $7, it's a great way to come out and hear some wonderful, wonderful performances and support the United Way. Of course, go to the United Way. Really keep the cost very low. So a very large expense for $7 goes directly to the United Way. And there'll be other hosts of student events. Mass, or even student assembly directly updating that. The second, the other two, though, are not about giving money. There's other ways to provide help. One of those is my email address is deputyprovost@cornell.edu for you, Deputy Provost. If you talk to others and find out either things that make people concerned about giving or things that they're really excited about, I'd love to hear from you so that we can do a better job working with creative today. Please do an even better job in the future of the United Way Cornell than we're already doing. And last, pass around a bag of stickers and pins. If you wear a pin or a sticker at some point, you put it somewhere, put it on your buff or something, you know, it's a great way to, I find my rare to the United Way. I'm shocked how people say, what's that? And all of a sudden, I'm in a conversation about the United Way. And so if you were, you know, motivated, moved by what you heard today, you want to share it with others, wear a pin or a sticker is a great way to get people talking. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thank you.
Go to resolution 11. Before we do that, Phoebe, do you want to give an update about?
Speak into the microphone more.
Sorry.
Can you hear?
Okay. We had a lot of enthusiastic members, and there are a lot of ideas, and I believe some of you may have recommended from that meeting. So this coming week, we'll be working on implementing and deciding which projects to work on, and some of the ideas were actually in line with the current project that SA has, including renovating the website, which we're happy to help out with. Also, earlier this week, we contacted all 700 students on campus, and we have been hearing back from about 50 to 100 of them. I don't know how many more emails we got today. Club presidents and leaders are basically sending us their ideas and whatever issues, complaints, suggestions they have. And over the course of the next 2 weeks, myself, Matt, and members on our council will be setting up meetings with all of these presidents.
You really emailed all the
questions.
Oh my goodness. Good. Any questions for Phoebe?
Yeah, just
Vivi Kumar.
Yeah, great job so far. You know, especially keeping good minutes and everything. Those are all on the website. I think I emailed those to all of you guys. So just great job and just keep it up, I guess.
Anyone else? All right, thanks, Phoebe.
Great. So I guess what we'll do is we'll go to the speakers list. So that amendment was adopted. So next up is Representative Rabbert.
I was just going to propose a similar amendment.
All right, Representative Nicoletti.
After obviously a lot of back and forth on the SAN community, I emerged to say that I'm in full support of this resolution. And I think that it comes down to the fact that there's a campus dialogue that gets created, a bigger campus dialogue that this resolution will create, you know, an easier space for that to happen and wider and more students to participate in that. And it really shows you the power of the campus dialogue and the fact that this resolution was created by one and that it was formed and amended, you know, over weeks and months by what happened in the community and what happened on the SA. And Grammy, I mean, you did a great job with, you know, it got shut down a few times, but you kept going on it, and, you know, it looks terrific. And, you know, ultimately, I think this is a landmark resolution. It shows the power of both sides in the argument, getting more fees for the places that people are coming from, and making ultimately better decision-making process. So, thank you.
Great. Next up on the list is community member Mike Wacker. Thank you. Next up on the speakers list is Representative Ming.
I think it's a great resolution. I think we discussed it thoroughly through and through the last month, so I have a bunch of call questions.
All right, so there's been a call to question. Is there a second? All right, seeing no second, we will... There's a second? Okay, so there's a second, so we'll just vote all in favor of calling to question. What's that? It's not debatable. So, all in favor of voting right now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed? 1, 2, 3. All right. So the nays have it. Moving on. Representative or Parliamentarian Cohn.
Okay. This is a great resolution. I just have one concern, which is in the last section, where it says the parliamentarian will announce to the assembly the collective vote of the gallery and liaisons prior to casting the popularly elected members. I was wondering what your reasoning behind that was.
I think we talked about this last meeting. There was just the fact that the student assembly could hear the vote of the student body before we release our vote, so that like their opinion can actually affect ours. That was kind of the whole point of this, that the student body can have a little bit more of a voice in the student assembly. And I think like by doing this, it goes beyond just saying that, you know, they have to vote. I think it's saying that before we put our vote in, we take into account the consideration of the rest of the committee. We sort of give them a chance to greater influence our votes rather than just throwing two votes in the pile.
Thanks. Next up is Representative DeLonco.
I just had a question with the bylaw so what is going to be the position of the RGB liaison, the green liaison,
so we had a discussion about this in addition to the FCA clerk. What we decided was that liaisons would be included in the gallery, but that's why I said the community and the liaison. The clerks, since they're paid to be here, would be expected to abstain from the vote, as will the parliamentarian, since this is the person that actually collects the vote. So they wouldn't be taxed with the vote for the liaison.
Okay, so the liaison would be voting.
They would be running as though they were.
Next up is Representative Drunowitz. By the way, if any community member wants to speak, just raise your hand.
I just have a question about how the voting would work. So would it be a hand vote, a call, or how would you go about the voting for the gallery?
I think what we decided is that the parliamentarian would go through the gallery. You would write down the names and check the ID cards of all the students.
Right.
Then you would go back to the seat, make sure all the students are members of the Avalon graduate community by using a search feature online, tallying them up, and then before the student assembly releases their vote, he would announce the vote of the committee, and then we would incorporate those two votes into the student assembly vote.
No, I understand that part. But my question is that when they're voting, obviously, I'm assuming that they get checked in at the start of the meeting, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so then you have a list of everyone who's in the room who's a registered student. Okay. How, when it's time for them to vote, how do they do that? Do they...
The parliamentarian
is just trying to go to the... He just ask them, they just raise their hands or something?
I think...
Is it like a majority vote?
Individually, or you can collect the
vote. Okay. Would it be like majority or two-thirds?
So it would just be
simple majority. Okay, sounds good. Yep. Oh, I'd like to yield my time, Madeline.
1 minute.
Is there something in here that says, just going off of that, what the parliamentarian should decide how the voting is done?
Yeah. So there isn't. I just assumed it would be up to them, but...
Can we add that? So I'd like to add to the bylaw 4.1.B.
I guess just something. I mean, I don't know if it's your resolution, but I guess I would propose that it would be like a roll call, just like what happens for us, and then the gallery would say, you know, yay or nay. Does that work for you? I mean, it's your resolution, so
no,
whatever you want. I don't know what you all had in mind or how you envisioned it.
We really didn't think of how they would vote on things. I guess in Alex, you can comment, but would it be okay to say the parliamentarian shall administer the community clause of the FA charter through a roll call?
Yeah.
Right, but then I'm just saying, I think you need to indicate if it's my, you know, majority, or just so that everything's fair and clear.
So is there a motion for an amendment here?
Yeah, but not...
Representative Lewis, I have a question for you. Do you mean having him take a roll call vote from where he's sitting?
I don't care if he's sitting, standing, whatever. I think that there should be something in here that says how the voting will take place. Just because in the name of fairness, I guess.
Yes, we'll work on it and we'll do.
I can put you on the second speaker's list, or if somebody else wants to yield their time once they have the floor to you. So next on the speaker's list is VP Andrews.
Yeah, so the community clause, I support, you know, this resolution. The idea, though, with this, with the question that Parliamentarian Cohen brought up about the last part of announcing the community vote before we vote, how do you buffer, again, the idea of if, you know, a minority of students who are very passionate about an issue come in and they all, you know, they all are here because they're affected by this one issue, though it may go against the majority of what students feel. So then they announce, they all, you know, cast their vote, their two votes count, and then on top of their two votes counting, you're also having them sway votes on the assembly. So is that, you know, is that, do you think that maybe giving too much of a, too much, you know, of influence on the two votes of the community by influencing our vote, even though they may be a minority of the campus and what the campus thinks?
So I think I've thought about this as well. The idea of this resolution is how to reconcile the individual responsibility of the FA members to act in the way you see best with the collective responsibility to represent the students as best as possible. Obviously, you can't have it both ways. You know, initially, you know, I wanted, you know, one person, one vote. You have to say that's too radical. And then on the other side, you know, there's still that chance of influencing them, but I think, you know, assembly members should be responsible enough just not to do it.
Thank you. Next on the speaker's list is VP Basil.
Yeah, I want to piggyback off of what Vince just said. So, I mean, we've all heard for many, many weeks what is the purpose behind the community call-out resolution. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and in the beginning, this resolution was looking to put one vote for one person. So basically there, we were actually trying to empower students to affect legislation. We ended up deciding that was too much power to place in students' hands. So instead, what we're doing now, and I guess also to backtrack really quickly, you know, what is the purpose of the community clause? Do we believe that the people in the audience are more representative or less representative than the people around this table? Do we believe that we are in our white ivory tower looking down at the peons of the non-student assembly students and, you know, imposing our evil and nefarious, you know, master plan for Cornell upon them? I don't think that either of those things is the case.
1 minute.
So then that brings us to the conclusion that the community clause is in effect which is I think widely acknowledged and admitted that it is largely a publicity stunt to draw students to become more involved in what the assembly is doing by giving them some little say in the meeting, you know, an actual incentive to show up. In addition, to tag off of what Vince said, by them announcing their vote before SA members vote, we're effectively saying, we'd like you to come, we'd like you to vote, but if we know that it's close and we know that you're voting against what I think, even though I might have voted that way beforehand, I'm going to change my vote so that you don't get a say.
30 seconds.
So I'd like to go ahead and actually motion to amend the resolution to say instead of prior to the final vote, after the final vote, because I think that then you're actually giving them a little bit, giving students who come to the audience and you take their time to do this, a little bit of an influence. Because right now, it's effectively utterly teethless. And that does give it a little bit of a sort of a kick, I guess, after that final vote to see on a very close vote where it's going to swing. So I think I'd like to amend the resolution instead of prior to say after.
All right. So there's been a motion to amend this resolution. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. All right. So we will open up debate on this specific amendment. So if anybody wants to be on the speaker's list for this amendment, Representative Danzer.
So, I see where you're coming from, and I see where current form of the resolution is coming from. And I don't understand why we can't do simultaneous, why we can't poll the audience.
So it's a hidden ballot, essentially?
As you vote, and then when the clerk is announcing the vote number, she can include the two votes of.
Can I respond? So, I mean, I guess, you know, for anyone that has a pen or a pencil, while we're reading the vote, you can form a little box that says yes, no, and abstain, and you can follow the vote along, you know, making little tick marks or whatever, and you can see, if you're especially, unlike me, if you're lower in the alphabet, oh shoot, there's, you know, more no votes than yes votes, I better vote yes, even though I was kind of swaying one way or the other. So you have to decide, ultimately, whether those votes are going to be read, because there's no alphabetical order, whether are they being read at the beginning or they're going to be read at the end.
So that, it would depend, though, on how the parliamentarian goes about collecting the votes, which I have some sort of amendment written down for that later. But I think that would play a large role. And I also question the legitimacy of saying that a student assembly member would, if they're swaying
30 seconds.
Their vote to a, one side or the other, simply to remove the say of the community.
If that's to remove the say of the community, it's that, you know, that I'm taking social choice theory right now, but if you're impartial about no, but you feel very strongly against yes, your vote might change, especially if you're impartial against one of the outcomes, but you're very opposed to the other outcome. But you might want to sort of support it one way or the other. It does affect votes at the margin. And I, having been on the assembly for 3 years, I definitely think that, you know, there are times where my vote has changed based on how the vote has been proceeding.
Thank you. Moving on, next on the speaker's list, Representative Akintalo. Sorry, the sponsors of the resolution want to jump in too on this this question. Go ahead. Okay. I'll move next on the speaker's list. I just want to remind you we're debating the amendment to strike prior to and replace it with after. Anybody on the speaker's list that wants to call that amendment to question can do so.
So I guess I'll go back to my point again, is that, you know, I can tell you, actually, I disagree with that just because a lot of the time, you know, when the student assembly deals with an issue that's controversial, I'm afraid that a very active minority is going to come to the assembly. Or actually, no, it's a great thing. An active minority comes to the assembly, presents their position, but we have to realize there may be a minority of the students, and they may not reflect maybe what the majority of the students, which we're supposed to represent, you know, through our respective groups, and I'm afraid that the 50 members who represent the minority may sway, again, a vote, you know, may sway what a representative truly feels or truly thinks that their constituency feels. So, that's why I think it also provides, again, what Basil said, it actually may aid the people in the audience if they vote afterwards, so that if a student representative may want to vote one way but, you know, would vote the other way just because they feel like they may not want the resolution to pass but they want to vote in support of the idea. I mean, I don't know. It's an interesting theoretical situation, but I just feel like an active minority may sway the votes of what the majority of students may want.
Thank you. I'll recognize the responses for a minute.
Sure. Yeah, I think this is going to be a perennial problem because, you know, so I guess the discussion is, should we reward an active minority, you know, because we're afraid it doesn't represent the people. But then I would ask, you know, what is the people? You know, I would say anyone, $1,000, I have $1,000 on me right now, but to go out and find the people. You know, because of course you can take a group of individuals, lump them together, and say they're the people, but the general will, the general conscience, it's metaphysical. It doesn't actually exist because there will always be a minority, there will always be differing views. And I think, you know, we
I think they if people are willing to be more activists, then they should be rewarded the same way that there were students willing to be activists in taking over the Willard Street, you know, hall, and I guess they were recognized.
Thank you. I'll recognize community member Katz for 2 minutes. I think that's the first time in an essay meeting that metaphysical has been a centerpiece of an argument. Just want to throw that out there.
In response to Andrew's comment, you're all very committed people with ties all across campus. I'm sure that you can use your own opinion and matter, but that's the point of grouping, like, maybe it's just a thing. But I do agree that it should be done at the same time. I think that it should be done prior to doing the same. Because there are elections here. It'll be the first time that you hear the greater community's voice, even if it is a minority. And then you'll I'm sure you'll be able to recognize that they are a minority and you'll be able to use your own opinion. You shouldn't be so easily swayed by a minority.
Can I respond? Can you give me time to respond? So, I mean, I'm just working off the Pi Alpha issue that we dealt with at the end of last semester, where we had the majority of people in the audience, I think, were members of Pi Alpha. And so they're going to vote, you know, one way, when I think the majority of students on campus felt a different way. And so I groupthink. I fear that the groupthink, where, you know, we're trying our best here to represent what students want, and we have, you know, 50 students of a specific organization want one way, when maybe the majority of students on campus feel a different way. And I think that Chi Alpha issue is what resonates in my mind, and that's why I feel we should go after this.
Thank you. Next on the speakers list is Representative Gitlin.
I was going to invoke a similar idea to President VP Andrews, that there's sort of a majority decision, yet it still respects the minority rights and opinion, even in, you know, that situation where everyone here is voting in one direction and the community is voting in the opposite direction. I think that, I think that the minority of people will be represented no matter what, if it's at the end.
Thank you. I'll put you on the speakers list. Next is Representative Raps.
Alright, so I kind of have to disagree with Representative Basil, because I just want to say that I think the point of the community clause and the point that I've been talking to a lot of constituents about is that they want to feel like they're getting their voice heard. And how can their voice be heard if it's done after the fact? Yes, we could be swayed by a majority of the people, but I believe our job as representatives is to represent what we believe our constituents want. I don't think that's going to be swayed by seeing other people in the audience. I think that seeing other people in the audience allows them to express their opinions, and if we think that it melts with the ideas of our constituents, then we can change our vote, which I agree with. But you're not just going to have group swaying vote. I don't think any of us, we're all at Cornell, I think we're all very educated people, and we just don't see a majority believing in something, and then we just decide to do it as well. I don't think that's going to happen with us.
1 minute.
I think that a lot of people that I've talked to have expressed their opinions that they actually really want this to happen. This is why I'm totally changing it from what I believed before. And they really want to feel like they're part of the student assembly. I've talked to so many people that want to get involved. And I don't think they're going to want to get involved if they see that their vote isn't heard until after we make our decision. I don't think that's going to motivate any more people
seconds.
To come. So I want to call the question, and I advocate for everyone to call to take back this initiative and to vote prior.
Okay, so there's a call to question on just the amendment. There's a second. All right, so I guess we'll do a hand vote. There's dissent? So, okay, so we'll vote to vote on the amendment first. So all those in favor of voting now?
Yeah.
Voting on voting.
On the amendment.
Voting to vote. Right. Okay, all against? Alright, so the yeas have it, so we will now vote on the amendment to strike prior to and replace it with after. So I guess we'll do a hand vote on this one. So all in favor of the amendment? Everyone knows what the amendment is? Sure. So the amendment reads, the parliamentarian will announce to the assembly the collective vote of the gallery and liaisons after the casting of popularly elected members' votes. Yeah, we're voting to add after instead of. So a yes vote is in favor of after, a no vote is in favor of prior. So all those in favor. 1, 2, 3, 4. And all those against? All right, so the nays have it. So it will remain liaisons prior to the casting of the ballots. Whatever. So moving back to the original speakers list, this is folks, Representative Danzer.
Talking about how the parliamentarians are going to collect the votes, since we've decided on prior, I would like to propose an amendment to the prior to the final vote of the resolution, qualifying members of the community to be submitted to cast their vote by a show of hands.
I'm sorry, say it again?
So the amendment would be in order for the parliamentarians.
Which section here? Wait. Hang on, go back. Which section? 3-1-D.
3-1-D, and then the B.
Oh, okay.
On the second page of the
resolution. Oh, okay. All right, so prior to the final...
Prior to the final vote of resolution, qualifying members of the community be permitted to cast their vote by a show of hands.
By a show of hands. All right, is there a second to that amendment?
Second.
All right. Yeah, 1 minute. Okay, so I'm just going to... So there's an amendment on the table. Do you withdraw your amendment?
No, I'm going to keep my amendment.
Okay, you're going to keep the amendment?
Hang on.
Continue. Okay, so... Hang on, wait. So we're gonna talk to Parliamentarian Cohen and just get a logistics update. Okay. You can get on the chief. Speakers?
In my opinion, I understand the reasoning behind what you're saying. That logistically, echoing what Bernal said, that wouldn't be a good idea, as we're keeping track specifically of all the individuals that are coming in. And a hand vote to ensure that the people that I have recorded would be casting the correct vote would essentially be doing the same thing as if I went around to the clipboard and said, what's your vote, yes or no? So I believe voting in that way would essentially achieve the same thing.
So your proposal would be walking around with a clipboard?
Or any measure of ensuring that
people that are eligible. Okay, I'll draw my amendment and perhaps have permitted to cast their vote privately.
Wait, so is this...
Yes, I'm going to draw my amendment and propose a different amendment.
Okay.
And it will require the final vote of a resolution qualifying members of the community will be permitted to cast their vote by a private meeting to the parliamentarian.
Privately to the parliamentarian? All right, so cast their vote privately to the parliamentarian. Is there a second to that amendment? Second.
Dissent.
Okay, so we will open up a new speakers list to talk about this amendment. Privately to the parliamentarian. Whoa, wow. I saw I can pose this.
You know how we sit in a venue made for space, have them sit together to make space. can't vote. Like, so it would be easier for him, like, to just go over to vote that day, like, in their own time. You know, if they're late, they can't sit in the section at their own time.
Unless you want to modify your amendment. If you want to yield to Representative Rest, thank you.
Okay, we were thinking the same thing. Okay, so actually we would add this to bylaw 4.1.B, ask for the parliamentarian shall administer the community clause of the student assembly charter. We said that the parliamentarian shall count a hand vote to discern simple majority from the gallery, where all eligible voters sit in a designated area.
Sounds elegant. All right, so hang on. So this is, so because, you know, we're discussing the amendment right now, so this would be in addition to Representative Danza's amendment, unless he wants to withdraw his amendment.
And so I would say that my
1 minute. Okay, so what we're going to do is I'm just going to use my position to call a vote on Danza's amendment, which specifically says permitted to carry a vote. Qualifying members of the community will be permitted to cast their vote privately to the parliamentarian. So we're just going to vote on that, yes or no, and then we're going to move on to Representative Barrett's amendment. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right, so all in favor of Representative Danza's amendment? By show of hands, 1, 2. All against?
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
12-2, the amendment fails. So we go back to the speakers list. Representative Glasser, keep in mind, Representative Rath has a... Oh, I'm sorry, okay, right. So we'll vote on Representative Rath's amendment, or we'll discuss, debate, and then vote on Representative Rath's amendment, if that's all right. All right, so anybody who wants to speak on Representative Bradsman, E.P. Andrews,
call the question.
All right. Is the stand okay? So we will vote on whether to vote.
Just let him talk. Okay, I withdraw my call to question.
I don't mean to sound like a broken record. I believe the seating idea has a lot of merits, as does the hand vote, however. Having a hand vote poses the same difficulty of trying to lump a group of people together, while also having this resolution specify that people have to be individually, you know, certified to be able to vote. So having a hand vote, it wants to keep the certification. So if you want to go with hand votes, then I would say no certification. But if you want the certification, then the hand vote is contradictory.
So you like?
Can I respond?
Yeah, 30 seconds.
Okay, like this is the idea that I've been trying to pitch for a while that I've been thinking of, and it kind of combines like the best of both worlds. So we can have an amendment where we start with the hand vote, and then if there are more votes than the parliamentarian had originally accounted for, then we can override that and go to a roll call vote where he goes through and like takes a one by one vote. So that way people have like an incentive to not rely on something in place because they know that there'll be more votes than there should be, and then he's going to be forced to take a roll call vote anyway. But this way, as long as people are honest, I think they should be because they know that there is no way they can go away with it, then we can go by it easily with the hand vote.
Thank you. So next on the speaker's list to discuss Representative Rath's amendment is Representative Phillips.
First of all, I want to start by saying I support this amendment, and I just like to add one thing. Can we give all undergraduate members who arrive in the first 15 minutes wristbands to make sure that nobody has
Thank you. Representative Danger.
So, can I just ask Parliamentarian Cohen, what would you propose, what amendment would you propose we have in order for the Parliamentarian to make it as easy as possible for the Parliamentarian?
A control mechanism of voting cards. It's something that large assemblies use when they do handbooks that have to be certified, where essentially it's a special document that can be made by the SA that can be very difficult to reproduce. You hand them out if they can vote. If you want to do a hand vote, you raise them. Otherwise, you can pass them out and then be handed back in. Essentially, it's similar to a ballot, except you can use it for more than just writing your name.
Thank you. Next on the list is Representative Ragan.
I just really want to say that I support this amendment, and I think there is like something to be said behind Alex's ballot idea, basically. But I just want to say that having a roll call vote is completely unrealistic, because the times that this community clause is going to be necessary are when it is a controversial issue and some people here, and that's just going to make this meeting like inefficient and a waste of time. I'll give my time to Natalie.
I just want to add that it's going to make the meeting go even longer. Just adding that.
Thank you. Next on the list is Representative Min.
I just think it's ironic that we're talking about spending the meeting long and being concerned about that when we're really discussing the same thing over and over again. I think the original plan to have Alex think of divide the way after, you know, it has to initially start the best way and she sees fit to the voting caucus what the best solution would be. I don't really think there's a need to specify, nor do we need to think of hypotheticals that might happen. I think, you know, let's get this resolution passed, let's have the voting member. If it's a big group, then obviously like a hand vote or you know, something like a two-person would be helpful. If it's a small group and things like that aren't necessary. So again, I'd like to call the question.
Is there a second to call to question on the amendment? Second. Okay, all in favor of, I'm sorry?
Read the amendment.
Natalie, can you read the amendment?
Oh, yeah. So it's added after bylaw 4.1.B, the parliamentarian shall count a hand vote to discern simple majority from the gallery, where all eligible voters sit in a designated area.
Thank you. So all in favor of this amendment, please raise your hands high. Eight. All opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Eight. As chair, I will break the tie and vote yes. So by vote of 9 to 8, this amendment passes. So moving on to the original speakers list. Representative Glasser. He's impatient over there.
Well, I was just going to say, if we're going to mandate a new system of voting, I would be in favor of using iClickers. Because what those could be is both the same sentence and those, like, on Twitter, is that no problem. And pretty much everyone has them after seeing any questions about iClickers and people, like, both of them have been in favor. So, if we're going to mandate a new system of voting, then I'm not going to vote.
Great, thank you. Next up on the speakers list is Representative Phillips.
All right, I'd like to begin by saying that I agree that we need more student involvement in the student assembly. What I believe is this is not the best way. It seems that many of the student assembly members are concerned with the packing of meetings by advocacy groups who do not necessarily represent the majority view of the student body. I'm not sure, maybe parliamentarian going to this, or maybe you guys could. Would it be possible to propose a resolution that would allow for student referendums rather than panels at meetings? It seems like that would get a lot more student involved.
1 minute.
Yeah, so actually we don't need a resolution to that because it's already fitted in the charter. The biggest issue with referendums is time. The amount of time it takes you to draft a resolution and the amount of time that it would take us to get an email out to all the students doesn't correspond. It takes a 14-day approval pending. I know, you know, Natalie's resolution about the blue light service is to system. You know, I don't think that even makes sense yet, and that would be kind of, but
it's being sent through the registrar in the next couple of days.
Right. It's going through the big red states. So definitely wait until you hear about my idea with Flash.
15 seconds.
Yeah, it's just, it's so great. Let's time so much.
Or possibly regulation.
I think
that's what I'm sure. Thank you. Next up is Representative Rath.
Oh.
Do you yield?
Yeah.
Okay. Representative Gitlin.
I'll yield.
Also yield. Representative Rao.
I think what's going on here is we're debating a lot of kind of petty issues with stalling. And I just want to ask, is the SA in favor of this, or are we just afraid or intimidated by a couple of articles that Cornell's done? What's changed here from last time when we voted it down 12-4? I think the purpose behind this resolution, the principle behind it, is still the same. And I think, in fact, it's really more diluted, ineffective, and more teethless, as terms have been thrown around a couple of times. I wonder how many people here are just silently in support of this because they're afraid of some bad publicity. Are they just waiting to see which way the wind blows? And I want to let everyone know, just remind everyone that you're elected to do what's right. What's right?
Speak up. Speak up.
Thank you. 1 minute.
Sure. Like I said, you know, it's not the same revolution because before it was one person, one vote, and now it's less than the power. No, I really urge, saying, you really can't have a vote this way because it's really not fair for, you know, what anything we're trying to accomplish. You can't say that one is too radical, that one is too good. We're trying to, you know, find the middle ground here. I think
30 seconds.
Plenty of opportunities for you to express, you know, any amendments, any alternatives you'd like to see. And through all this collaboration, this is what we've seen.
Thank you. So that's it for the first speaker's list. We'll go on to the second speaker's list. I'm sorry. So we'll move on to the second speaker's list unless somebody who hasn't spoken wants to speak. So Representative or Liaison Fly.
What changes now is that, like Representative Braxton, people who talk to their constituents, they talk to the people who have read about this amendment in the Daily Sun, and they read about this, read about this, and people have heard how much you like this idea. I think that's one thing that's changed, that people out of the community have heard about this, and they've all liked the idea, and
all right. Anybody else who hasn't spoken yet would like to speak? All right, DeLucia.
So I was in favor of
you are the chair.
Until we just put in an amendment for segregating the audience. But anyway, logistically speaking, I feel like having Alex go up to every single person and asking them how they're voting is going to take forever. And on hot button issues, there's going to be a lot of people in the audience. So it's going to take even more time where we're just going to be sitting here looking at each other, wondering, like waiting. I just this resolution just doesn't seem logistically like permissible. I mean, our meeting is going to take forever. And, I mean, we only have certain amount of time before we get picked out of the term. So, I don't know. I mean, I might be in favor of tabling until we come up with some sort of efficient way.
Is that a motion? Yeah.
No.
So, DeLucia, is that... Okay, go ahead. One minute.
Okay. I mean, but still, we're going to have a great audience.
haven't done it.
Unless you have, like, Alex and Bodyguarding.
30 seconds.
Team
seconds. Just wait a second, okay. So we will, the clerk could please call the roll. Oh, I'm sorry, 1 minute to close. Sorry, point of information. So any points of information have to be directed to the chair, unless you have... should have seen that coming. Yeah, go ahead.
So the attendance requirement was initially in place for the initial resolution requiring one person, one vote. But seeing as how we have other limitations in place, I think it would just be a very big disincentive for people to have to attend three meetings for collecting two votes.
Thank you. So there's been a motion to call it to question. There's been a second, so we will now go ahead and vote on this resolution. I'm sorry, 1 minute to close.
So I think I've been asked a lot, you know, why I sign off my emails with yours when you struggle. I think if there's one thing you should take out of this is that, you know, you need to struggle or to fight for what you believe in is right, you know, and obviously you're not going to always get your way, and I'm really, you know, happy with the process. It's been very organic, you know, always willing to change things. It hasn't been, you know, bad for me at all. Obviously, I just want to end by saying, you know, we can never implement a perfect democracy or implement social justice because, you know, we're mere humans.
30 seconds.
Humans are imperfect, and we just have to strive to go after these ideals and do the best we can.
15 seconds.
Just like my last slide, the reason that I've been so intelligent for us is that I dedicate so much time to helping you have. Because, like, when I ran for the assembly, I ran as a front representative.
5 seconds.
I feel like, you know, people talk about having influence on people. I feel like they should represent the people. I feel like they should have an impact on how we vote. And I feel like they should have an impact on what we believe in. And I feel like this resolution is essentially a good.
Thank you. Great, thank you. So would the clerk please call the roll? What?
Yes. No.
Sorry, Junowitz proxies, yes. And I abstain. Thank you. No, she proxies after the amendment. Nope.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
So, sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Smith voted yes? Okay, I'm sorry, yeah, 15 to 5. Yeah, so by a vote of 15 to 5, resolution 11 passes. Oh, wait, hang on. Yeah, 11 to 16. No, voting members, right? Hang on.
Hold on.
All right, so there's been a question whether it needs two-thirds of the voting members or two-thirds of members, sorry, two-thirds of all members or two-thirds of members present. My feeling is that it needs two-thirds of those present. The parliamentary can check. It's always two-thirds present unless it explicitly says all voting members. So has the challenge been withdrawn?
No, I was just
asking a
question.
Oh, okay. All right. In-house lottery for College Town residents, VP Kumar.
Wait, we have a point of order.
Point of order.
According to Ari, it doesn't pass.
It depends on the chair's interpretation of the charter.
It depends on the chair's interpretation of the charter. Chair, how did you...
There's no formal charter, right?
Yeah. It depends on the interpretation of the chair. The chair interpreted seated members. Resolution passed.
Okay.
All right. Go.
Take questions today. Once again, you know, the in-house lottery for college town residents, this is a sense of body revolution, kind of open up the process for those living in college town. The time of class is for 2013. We're representing fresh selection solvent, afforded the first opportunity to choose for the selection. And then resolution 14 is just talking about trying to get better information out to students faster. I tried as hard as possible to work with campus life and all these resolutions. So that would be happy to hear your discussion.
Speaker list of the representative side.
I throw my support into this resolution and say that, I fully agree with it. Just to bring up the points that, some opponents of it might have had, I know there was a concern about financial aid. I tried to look into the policy myself, and as far as I'm concerned, as far as the information that was brought to support to me, was as long as you're attending the university, your financial aid is determined based on you paying for a double on campus. So whether you're moved on campus or not, that's still the financial aid you're going to get. And in that sense, I think the person who requested this information was a junior who was afraid of being pushed off campus and receiving less financial aid again with the college town. You would still receive the financial aid if you're living in a double, which is that you'd be paying less because most college town apartments are cheaper than a double on campus. And on top of that, I think this is better because you're making it so that people have the opportunity, if they really want that cheaper incentive, that you can move on college out of the sophomore. But this way you're not forcing people to have to do that.
Lee is on fire.
No.
I was wondering about this. It has a lot of college town. Have you talked to the RTP of college town or Joe Burke at all about this and if they're thinking about it?
There's been a challenge, I think, to the previous resolution. So it's by voting members total. So I think the chair would still have the opportunity to make or break a tie.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Not
a goal. So it was 15 to 5. So we need 16 to make it official. I think.
It's not a tie.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. Just checking. Please continue. Liaison 5 defense.
Yeah.
All right. Representative Ben.
Yeah.
Mike.
So I just want to register my support for these initiatives. I think that they definitely go a long way.
give far too much advantage to people who have already had the extra opportunities to live on West Campus. So you get to choose their housing, get the best housing, and I think that considering what this university is trying to promote, I think this resolution aligns the assembly with the message of the university. And I think that's right.
Yeah, so, oh, right, this is for Resolution 12 alone. Okay, there's been a call for acclamation. Is there a second? Dissent? Resolution passed. Let's roll through Resolution 13. Okay, okay, fine. Dissent? I'm going to give you 2 minutes to just introduce the resolution again to refresh people.
Right. My understanding that when we brought up when D.C. Kumar sat down, he introduced all three at the same time.
Yeah, but we're voting on them individually. Are there any questions? Speakers. Okay, is everyone clear on what we're discussing? All right. Motion.
Call for hand vote.
Call to question. Second. There's been a call for a hand vote. Call it in.
Hand vote.
Oh, sorry. Second. Hand vote. Go, so, yeah. All in favor of this resolution, please do it again. I have 20 or 19.
Yeah.
What'd you get? Were you counting?
That's 19.
Because it was 15-5 before. It's 19. All nays. All right, 19-0. The resolution passed. All right, resolution 14. Go ahead and explain it. Yeah.
My understanding is generally depends in terms of how well they can stand the children just as a minor. So I think it must be an opportunity for students to say, and understand the result of the community. And I think that will allow them to make more informed and not better focused students, but maybe when they're into the classroom, and also in where to, what they actually.
Because this has been Representative Danzig.
Call question. Second.
The dissent.
Call question.
The dissent on this. Okay, resolution 10. Sure.
No, we haven't been here since 4:45. We didn't take roll.
I think we're going to implement this. Starting. Thanks for the point. Resolution 15, increased student representation in residence hall director selections. Representative Brown, Nicoletti, Serene Lee, and Raymond.
All right, here we go.
Did you check if the mic on?
Wow. There it is.
So three parts of this resolution: the first to place two undergraduates on the residence hall director steering screening committee, and under the institutional program, now the money is from the institutional residence hall. Our two resolution is for a group of undergraduates chosen by the RIT and the Direct Life Committee to take part in interviews for RIT candidates. And the third part of the resolution is for campus life to administer an evaluation regarding the situation with their RIT candidates. So with that, I'll go to Adam and we'll come up with you.
Okay, based on what we said last week, we changed in the first case, therefore, results clause, part three. We struck recommended to live on campus, a lot of you guys have problems with that. And in the fourth clause of the first case, therefore, results, we clarified that would qualify as previous experience in matters of residential community life. However, we said then that the list is not exhausted. We didn't want to leave out groups that we didn't think of, but these are the most common groups. And pretty much that, those are the only changes we did.
We did change the order of some of the points in the first page over resolve plus, and that's pretty much it.
All right.
Yeah.
Representative Belushi.
I just have one quick question for the second bullet point where you have one student comes from a program house and one doesn't call. Does that mean that you have to be living in one or that you had lived in one at one point in time?
I've lived in one.
Not in one. Okay. Can we have the amendment that one student must have lived in a program house and one student must have lived in a traditional
program house? Sure. Yeah, we've amended. So it'll be changed to one student must have lived in a program house and the other must have lived in a traditional residential home.
So, is that an amendment?
Yeah, yeah. Move to amend it to one student must have lived in a program house and one student must have lived in a traditional residence hall.
So you're just changing the word come to have
right.
lived. Okay. Did everyone note that? In the first be it therefore resolved clause, the second point, one student they're changing to must have lived instead of must come. Okay. Representative Desai.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to say that I think this is a great idea. I spoke with my old from the 6th and RHC about modeling about the summer break. I thought it was a great idea. I think it gives the student population more voice. I think I don't see any flaws in it. With that, I'd like to call the question.
Is there any dissent?
There was.
Okay. All right, so now we're going to vote to vote. If you would like to vote, please raise your hand. Did you raise it? Okay. I have 15. All right, all those against. All right, we're going to go ahead and vote. Let's have a roll call. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
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 Yes. All right, the resolution passes.
Thank you very much.
All right, seeing as how there's nothing left on the agenda, meeting adjourned.
All right.
Congratulations, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, congrats.
Majority of the majority.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.